Proverbs chapter 31 and in verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I might not come back to this when it says King Lemuel. What we believe is that this is Solomon, and is that this is a term of endearment that his mother uses for him. It's not his legal name. His legal name is Solomon, but that's all right. My mother never called me by my legal name. She had never called, matter of fact, nobody mostly calls me by my legal name. My legal name is not Toby. Most everybody knows me as Brother Toby, and I'm not, it's not my legal name. Legal name is Tyree. My granddaddy is the only person ever called me Tyree. Don't name your kid something and then call them something else. They'll have an identity crisis the rest of their lives. But she, most of the time, my mama would not even call me Toby. Most of the time, she called me her little man. He's mama's little man. What does my little man want for breakfast this morning? My little man. She never called me her little boy. All growing up, she never called me her little boy. I was always mama's little man or mama's man. And now that I'm 46 years old and mama's nearly 70, she calls me her little boy. I mean, I spent my whole life going in reverse, starting out as her little man, and now I'm her little boy, and I may be her baby boy by the time she gets a little older. This is Solomon, his mother speaking to him. The prophecy that his mother taught him, she calls him Lemuel. What, my son, and what the son of my womb? What the son of my vows? That is, he's my son, he's naturally my son. He is the son of my marital vows, father and a mother and a child. And she is appealing to him on the basis of family and authority as his mom. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. He is a king. Don't let these things destroy your life. She warns him of some things. I'm not going to get into some of those. That's a subject for another Sunday. Look at verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Let me tell you what kind to look for, son. Not the kind that's going to take away your strength and the kind that's going to undermine your home, your family, and your kingdom. But rather, she says, look for that virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and she worketh willingly with her hands. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant, strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I won't spend a lot of time on this morning, but let me note these verses down through verse 27, dealing with her work ethic. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Simply want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help us for a little while, on what is a mother. What is a mother? I was provoked in my thinking about this watching the confirmation hearings, the dog and pony show in the United States Senate recently, whenever they were attempting to question or publicly question, give advice and consent, as the Constitution calls for the Senate to do so, concerning the president's most recent Supreme Court nominee. And it was brought before the Senate as Marsha Blackburn, senator from the state of Tennessee, addressed the nominee and asked her the question, what is a woman? And the Supreme Court nominee, educated in Ivy League education, law degree, passed the law exam, bar exam, many years in practice, supposed to be one of our betters because of her education, says, I don't know. And the senator says, you don't know. You don't know what a woman is. No, I'm not a biologist, she says. I cannot answer the question of what a woman is. That question, what is a woman, is one that actually has been provoked by Matt Walsh of Daily Wire. He has written books and written articles that have been published about it. Has gone on the speaking tour asking the question, what is a woman? And getting provoking some in the perverse movements of our time to declare men who think themselves to be pretty and put on a costume as though they were women, the same as women are women. And it is a denial of reality. It is not the truth. And it is in itself a denial of what God has created. And it provoked in me as I'm studying this week for the message here today, what is then a mother? I mean, this week we've seen how that mothers and women across the country have been provoked by the leaked information about a possible overturn of Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion on demand across our country some close to 50 years ago. And the women of our day, and those, and I'm talking about those who are in the women's liberation movement and those who are in the pro-abortion movement, have lost their minds. They have protested in the street. They have sought after the justices to protest in front of their homes. They have shouted their abortions and celebrated the slaughter of their children. And it's obvious that they don't really understand what a mother is. And God gives us some directions. Now, we must always begin with this thing in our minds and understanding, that the answers to our questions are found in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for the fact that God gave us the truths of His Word. Now, I read a sign on a photo of one of these displays or one of these protests this week, where a woman stands and holds a picture in her hands above her head that said, "I wish my mother had aborted me." And I want to tell you, she doesn't believe that. She doesn't mean that, because she's about 35 years old and she's still alive. She's still alive because she has not aborted herself. She does not wish her mother had aborted her, but she's perverse in her thinking. And she doesn't really understand what God has established and set up and has created in the family and in the home. But in the midst of that backdrop, in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of that, unleashing of the devils of hell into our world with confusion from Satan himself, all across planet Earth today, preachers will stand in pulpits and honor God and reverence the institution that God founded that we call motherhood. I praise the Lord for that. I thank God. I don't think I've ever had a Mother's Day that I've been more excited about than this one, for the very purpose of those things. That there is still some people, there are still people with their heads screwed on halfway straight that understands how that men and women are different, and that moms matter, and that dads matter, and families matter, and that God's plan and His program does matter. There was a time when mankind did not know how to build space rockets, supercomputers, cell phones, and automobiles, but we knew what a mother, a father, and a family was. Today we are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We have advanced in scientific progress, but we have denied reality as established by God with the building blocks of humankind. Every sin and every way of sinful man is a denial of reality as declared by God. The sin of Adam and Eve in the garden when they embraced the lie of Satan, who told them, "You will not surely die." Their sin was a denial of God's declared reality. Proverbs 14 and 12 says it this way: "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Man denies the reality as declared by God, transgresses God's law, and then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that is the pattern ever since the Garden of Eden. Oh, my friend, today we've denied the reality of womanhood and motherhood as declared by God. When God made the first humans, He made them male male and female. They made no choice in the matter, but their gender was declared by God. Moreover, God gave Eve unto Adam to be his wife, his helpmeet, and to be the mother of all living, the scripture says. She was not some honky-tonk angel, some lewd object of impure desire, some stepping stool for Adam's abuse, or some machine to climb the ladder of Western corporate life. She was a God-created helpmeet. It was for man to complete God's order and to create the divine institution of the family. For Adam, Eve was the most important thing God had ever created. For Adam, Eve was the most important thing that God had ever created. This is the plan of God. This is the intent of God. There is no other person who can take the place of mom. Her role is higher than the feminist understands. Her influence over her children, her family, is more important than Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris can define, however she says her name. She's not, my friend, mom is not simply a smaller version of a man. She is specifically designed human creature with a divine purpose designed by God himself. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for a godly, spirit-filled, devoted, and loving mother. And I want to thank God that I never had to get a textbook, and I never had to get listen to a seminar, and I never had to attend a study somewhere to learn what a mama was. But God bless me, thank the Lord, to have one and to live with a real mama who loved her children and her family and showed me the plan of God in the way that she lived her life before me every day. I thank the Lord for that. I know everybody didn't have that privilege. I want to recognize that I did and thank God for it this morning, that I know what a real mama is. Amen. I'm blessed of that, and I want to thank God for it. But for this message this morning, I want us to really look at three areas concerning this thing of what a mother is. First, I want to talk about a mother defined. Secondly, a mother defended. And then I finish up this morning with a mother desired. And let's begin with the definition. What is a mother? What is a mother? Webster's 1828 dictionary tells us that mother comes from a Latin word meaning matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, and it's used in languages all over the world. I thought this was interesting. In Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese, the same word used for mother is the same word used for molds that are for casting. And so it intimates to us that physically, spiritually, and with loving nurture, the mother, the person who has molded us and formed us in life, is mother. Thank God for her influence. She is the first human to influence our lives. She has more influence over the life of a small human being made in the image of God than anyone else in that child's, small child's life. How we would define mother biologically. How Webster wrote that a mother is a female parent, a woman who has borne a child correlative to a son or daughter. To the best of my knowledge, Noah Webster was not a biologist, but he knew what a woman was, and he knew what a mother is. A mother is a biological counterpart, complement, and contrast to a man. I'm going to give you a news flash this morning. Men and women are different. I know most of you already know that. I'm just putting it on the record. Men and women are different, and they're supposed to be. God didn't give our children two mommies or two daddies. My friend, a lot of disobedience, a lot of corruption, lots of mental trouble has given us that in our day, and we're seeing it play out, but it's not the plan of God. The Lord didn't give our children two mommies or two daddies, but it is his plan for a mother and a father, different in their nature and role, to complement each other in God's institution of the home. Who in the world would ever thought than any preacher on planet Earth. Me growing up in the West Georgia, around where this place all of my life, under the influence of churches and preachers and pastors and the Bible. Who would ever thought anybody need to preach on what I'm preaching on this morning? I could define what a mother is. We all knew, but our youngest people do not know, and many of us seem to have forgotten that a mother is a biological reality. And then there is a biblical reality, or a biblical definition. A mother is a vessel of life. She is honored as the vessel through whom God would send His Son to planet Earth to deliver us from our sin. In the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, and the Bible said that the curse of sin was put on all of mankind, the Bible said that the Lord looked upon at the serpent and looked upon Eve, and as He said, "I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman," and He said that the seed of that woman would bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. He promised from the Garden of Eden that He would send His Son through that woman, and that His Son would crush the head of the serpent under His heel. Praise God. I tell you how important a mother is. It's the vessel through whom God chose to send us a Savior. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. My friend, God has sent His Son to planet Earth through a woman to deliver us from our sin. He could have sent Jesus to us on a cloud. He could have sent Jesus to us on a spaceship. He could have sent Jesus on a streak of lightning. But He so honors mothers that He sent His Son to us through the means of motherhood. Oh, Mary, He said, that angel told her, said, "You're greatly and highly favored among women, and that which is done unto you is of the Holy Ghost. And you'll bear that child, and His name will be called Jesus, because He'll save His people from their sin." She is the heart of the home, the one who loves unconditionally, the one who teaches us to love. One of the notes that Webster had about this word mother is that it is also used to express and embody passion. To express and embody passion. Nobody has the passion of a mother. Matter of fact, you want to fight on your hands, all you got to do is get involved some way or another with younguns, and you will have mamas that will be all over you like a duck on a June bug. I mean, friend, mamas have passion. And my friend Eve endures the pains of childbirth, but she rejoices, saying, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Mary, the mother of Jesus, sees her Son's work, eternal works, and my friend, He endures the rejection of men. And the Bible said a sword pierces through her own soul also. The passion she had for her Son was so great that when He suffered, she also suffered. And she empathized, she related. Hannah, that great woman in the Bible, has sought after God for a baby boy, and she gave him to God all the days of his life, passionately fulfilling her promise and commitment unto the Lord. And my friend, nobody has the passion of a godly mother. I have a mother that is filled with passion. Matter of fact, she is determined. She's always been determined for her children. At times she was passionately involved and wanted to kill me, and I knew it. I had provoked it and I deserved it, and she wanted to kill me. And that wasn't once in a while, that was fairly regular. But she didn't tell me she was going to kill me. She would say, "You're going to do what I've told you to do, and you're going to be the man that I have raised you to be if it kills me." Not if it killed me, but if it killed her. In other words, she was willing to do whatever it took and to put the values and the principles and have my friend the character into me that she was determined that I should have. And I thank God for the passion of a mother. That's what is described unto us in the Word of God. Moms who love their children more than what they love themselves. Let's just go ahead and admit this morning, gentlemen. If the human race was depending on its perpetuation by men bringing children into this world would have gone humanless a long time ago. I mean, that's just the way that it is. But somehow or another, God has put it in the heart of a mother that even though she has maybe endured the difficulty and strain of bringing a child into this world, yet she still desires, maybe for a second. We've got three in our household, and there was one that never made it into this world as its own autonomous person. But I know that it is a child that is conceived and has life at the moment of conception. So I would say we have one in heaven and three on this earth. And my friend Mom loves them all with tremendous passion. That's biblical. That is the design that God has set up. What is a mother defined biologically and biblically? And then I want to talk about this mother defended. Mother is not on her own. She's vulnerable because when you love, you leave yourself open to wounds. If you will love anybody, you have the potential for them to hurt you. If you love someone, they can wound you. They can hurt your feelings. You leave yourself vulnerable unto them. And when Mom loves, she leaves herself open for wounds. Motherhood is not without heartache. It's not without pain. Parenthood is not without complexity. My friend, and Mom is the weaker vessel than her husband physically, according to the scriptures, but she's not without defense. A mother is defended by her family, according to our text. In verse number 28, the Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. The people who know her best appreciate her the most. Matter of fact, if you really want to get a kid riled up, say something about Mama. And listen, I don't know if it's the same way now as what it was when I was a little boy, but all you had to say to get a knuckle sandwich when I was a little boy was "Yo Mama." You didn't have to say anything about "Yo Mama." All you got to do is just use her name. And as you tell somebody "Yo Mama," you're asking for a knuckle sandwich. You're asking for a fight. Those are fighting words. And to listen, the children, they may think that they're upset at Mom, and they may be frustrated at Mom, and they may be irritated at her, but you ought to leave Mama alone because her family will defend her, and the children will rise up and call her blessed. And listen, I might have given somebody a knuckle sandwich over Mom when I was a little boy, but now 46 years old, my mom nearly 70, I'm more defensive about Mom than what I've ever been. I appreciate her more than what I did then. I know how to appreciate her more than what I did then. And my friend, if you really wanted to hurt me, talk ugly about my mom, because she has sacrificed herself and her life to invest in us, and I thank God for Mom. She's not without defense. Those closest to her, her family, will defend her. It may seem that they don't praise her often enough, they don't lift her up often enough, but her diligence pays off in the long run, and her children in time will arise up and to call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Now listen, ma'am, you may not hear him praise you often. He don't want you to give the big head or nothing. See, he's trying to keep you humble. But when you're not around, that's when he's bragging on you. Hey, if you're a spirit-filled Christian woman who cares for her children and her family, your husband appreciates that, though he may not voice it often enough. She's defended by her family. She's defended by those who favor her. Verse number 23 of our text, the Bible said that her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the rulers of the land. The men of the city praised her husband, but it was for who he was married to. Her life as a wife and a mother was counted as a credit to her husband. They looked at him and they said, with such a good family, with such a fine wife, with such obedient children, he surely must be a good man. Fact of the matter is, while they were bragging on him, they were really honoring her, because she was that kind of a woman, that kind of a Christian. Christian mother, the kind of a man they knew him to be was because of the kind of a woman that she showed herself to be. Hey, you can make, listen, you'll not make your husband, ma'am, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you'll not make your husband a better man than what he is. You'll not make something out of him that he is not. No need in you trying to marry some character that probably ought to be in a penitentiary somewhere and thinking you're going to change him. That is a fool's errand. You'll not make him something that is not. You'll not make a silk purse out of the sow's ear that he is. But what you can do is you can help him maximize the person that God has created him to be. You can make him desire to be a better man. The better wife that you are, the more it will drive him. The more it will cause him to desire to be the person that God has created him to be and deformed him to be and intended for him to be. And I'm a better man because of my mom. I'm a better man because of my wife. I'm a better man because God gave me girls. They made me a better man. Learning to love my daughters have made me a better man. And here I am now just about to be a grandfather. I don't even know what I'm going to be yet. If I'm going to be a pop or a pawpaw or a grandpa or an old pa, I ain't sure what I'm going to be yet. My wife says she's going to be a grandma. Grandma. Y'all, can y'all imagine Sonia, grandma? But that's what she says she's going to be, is grandma. And I don't know what I'm going to be yet. And whatever you choose, most of the time the kids mispronounce and they decide for you what you will be from there anyway. I'm almost to be a grandfather of some kind. And this little old baby hadn't even got here yet. All it is right now is a peanut on an ultrasound. And it has already made me a better man just thinking about it. And then when I'm on my way to a meeting here recently on an evening service for revival service, I look down, my phone's ringing, and it's Grace on the phone. I pick it up. She said, "Daddy, you got just a minute to talk?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I just want you to know it's a girl." Amen. I said, "That's great, Gracie." She said, "I hope you're not disappointed. I know all you got's girls, and then this one's a girl." I said, "I'm not disappointed at all. I am well practiced is what I am. I was glad that it's a girl. They make me a better man. They make me a better man. Those who favor her, they credited her husband because of the kind of woman that she was. Mom defended by their family, by those who favor her. Mom defended by the Father. By the Father. I'm talking about the Father in heaven. Look at verse 29. How God steps up to the microphone and gives a word of testimony about this virtuous woman. And the Lord speaks on her behalf. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If they take me into court and want to charge me with anything, high crimes and misdemeanors, they want to charge me with anything, I cannot think of a better character witness to bring to the stand than for God to be able to step forward and say, "I have a word of testimony to give. I want to tell you what I think about them." And God does that for a godly mother. Many daughters, in verse 29, the Lord says, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The God of heaven steps forward to tell us about the kind of woman that he is pleased with, and he endorses the devoted Christian mother. Mama, that ought to make you thankful to be a part of the family of God. That ought to make you thankful that the Lord blessed your home with a pitter patter of little feet. That ought to make you thankful that God has given your husband and a family and a life and an opportunity to make an influence and to have an influence on new lives that the Lord has put into this world. When the God of heaven says, "That's the kind that I want. That's the kind that I approve of. That's the kind that I need." A greater honor is upon no other than to be called a mother. Amen. Mothers defined, then mothers defended, and then finally mothers designed, or desired rather, desired. mother's desire. And I thought about this week how the soldiers are recruited. And Uncle Sam's out there, you know, with his goatee and his striped hat, pointed his finger out there saying, "Uncle Sam, won't you? Uncle Sam, won't you?" In other words, join the army and run off and fight some rich man's war. Uncle Sam, won't you? And, but I'm going to tell you, God is in heaven. And my friend, he's not in any way going to abuse your service. He just desires to have spirit-filled, godly, committed mothers. It's his purpose. He desires this. Mothers desired. True Christian mothers are so rare today, but they are so very needed. Verse number 10 of our text, the chapter says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." She's worth more than jewels and worth more than rare stones. She's worth more than money. She's valuable. God values her. And my friend, a real loving God, God-fearing father and husband values that spirit-filled woman and mother. Solomon writes in Proverbs about the wisdom God has given to him. The Bible said that the Lord told him, "I'll give you wisdom," or "I'll give you riches." And he chose wisdom. And God said, "Because you've chosen wisdom, I'll give you both wisdom and riches." And God blessed him. And he was wiser than all the men of the earth. And he got more wisdom than anybody who lived before him, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. And when he is writing in the book of Proverbs, he begins much of this time telling us about the wisdom that God has given unto him. And much of what is shared with him from his parents. The first seven chapters of the book are largely devoted then to Solomon doing the same thing his father has done and sitting down his sons and warning his sons about things that would be a trouble or a problem in their lives. And most of the first seven chapters are devoted to warning his boys about the wrong kind of woman. The woman who meddles in other people's business. The woman who is lewd and sinful. But then in chapter 31, there is the crowning chapter of the virtuous woman. And it was a chapter taught to him by his mother. Solomon said, "I learned what a real woman was by the one who lived in my home. I learned what a real Christian, virtuous, God-fearing woman was by watching my mother. What a blessing that is." Hallelujah. A chapter taught to him by his mother. Dare I be so carnal this morning as to say, the old barbershop quartet song says, "I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. She was a pearl and the only girl that daddy ever had. A sweet old-fashioned girl with heart so true, one that loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad." Now, if you think I'm carnal for singing that and it not a Christian song in the pulpit, you pray for me all the way home. The Lord maybe will grant your prayers because I need them. But I'm going to tell you something. I want that kind. I'm glad I learned what a real Christian woman was by watching the one God put in my home as a child.
Amen.
Solomon learned what a spirit-filled Christian, virtuous woman was by watching his mom. And what I find interesting about that is he's the son of Bathsheba. Don't know what that causes you to do, but it causes me to remember how we were introduced to Bathsheba in the Word of God. She hadn't always been virtuous and spirit-filled, and she hadn't always done what is right, and she don't have a perfect history, and she didn't have a perfect background, but she's not the person that she used to be. God has done a work in her life. Makes me want to shout hallelujah. God took away the stains of sin and the background. Her first child, we find out about in the scripture, is one from adultery, one of shame, one of disgrace, one of dishonor. But here her son becomes the king, the wisest man in the world, writing chapters and books in the Bible, and she's teaching him what it is to be a virtuous woman, to know one that is spirit-filled and that loves God. I'm telling you, God has a way of working miracles in people's lives. And my friend, saying God gave virtue to her where there had been none. We need virtuous women, spirit-filled mothers, have devoted wives. There are desired, there is wanted some women who commit their way unto the Lord. Desired and desired seems to be desired and appreciated for what she is. I thank the Lord. Solomon didn't spend the rest of his life saying mama hadn't always been a good woman. He looked at what she was and who she was and said, thank God I've got a virtuous woman in my life. And my friend, we don't see anything in this chapter, anything in this Bible, how that in the future David had talked to his wife and said, I remember how you used to be, or her talking to him saying, I remember how we met and this thing was all wrong and it was your fault. We don't see the fussing and the fighting. But my friend, the Lord mends their hearts together. And my friend, he took a heart out and took it all to pieces and put a new one in. Put in sunshine where darkness once had been. He gave it a light and glory and took away the doubt and sin. When Jesus took a heart all to pieces and put a little sunshine in. And my friend, it is desired for a mom that knows God to live in this old world.
Amen.
Let me say this. I'm beginning to finish here this morning. She's desired and is listed as a trusted person by her husband. Trusted by her husband, a man. Now listen, she's trusted by her husband, and that's not how we find her first in the Bible. But she's become a new person. God has done something in her heart. And the Bible said in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. He knows he doesn't have to worry about her behavior. She's not perfect, but her failure will not be for lack of care. She seeks the good of her spouse. Wow, she's unlike the woman of Proverbs 7. She can be trusted while her husband's out of town on business. Proverbs 7, Solomon tells us about a woman who flirted with a fool in the street. And she said, for the good man of the house is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Her husband was out of town on business and she was looking for another man. The fool will suffer, the Bible said, like a bird to a snare, for she hath cast down many wounded. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The virtuous woman has the safely invested trust of her husband in her life. Trusted by her husband. She's a teacher to her children. And verse number 1, his mother's the one that's teaching in Proverbs 31. He writes Proverbs 31, I have a sermon to preach today because of the teaching of a mother. Hey, we wouldn't even have this chapter without the mother was a teacher. Moses learned to trust God not in the schools of Pharaoh, my friend, but at the knees of his mother who was in the hut of a Hebrew slave. Solomon learned keeping the commandments of God from a mother, my friend, who gave him to God. Obed learned the privilege of being a member of God's family from his mother Ruth. I learned a working understanding of the Bible, not from Bible college, though I'm in favor of Bible college, but from the teaching of my mother as a child in the floor of our living room of our home. There's no way, and I'm not much of a preacher, and I know that. I want to be more. I want to be better. I press hard. I try hard, and I maybe swing and miss sometimes, but I assure you it is not for lack of effort. But I wouldn't be the preacher that I am today were it not for my mother. My mother's the best Bible teacher that I ever had. The stories that I learned in the scriptures, the working understanding that I have of the Bible did not come from Dr. Bottlestopper. It came from my mom teaching me the Word of God. Trusted by her husband, teacher for her children. She's treasured by society. I'm talking about folks who know better. Real people who understand what's going on. Treasure a spirit-filled, virtuous mother. Who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10? Her price is far above rubies. I've been in prison with hardened criminals serving life sentences and have seen their countenances change the moment you mention mom. I've seen powerful and wealthy businessmen who melted at the mention of mother. I've lived long enough now to see my mom as the treasure that she is.
Amen.
And then she's a trophy of God's creation.
Yes.
Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gate. She is worthy of honor. You'll not hear this preacher criticize churches for gathering together on Mother's Day. I have heard preachers say, we're not going to celebrate Mother. This is Jesus' day. We're not going to let Jesus or let a mother take the place of Jesus. We're not letting Mother take the place of Jesus. Jesus, the Lord, His Word, His Bible is what has taught us to respect Mom. You're not going to hear this preacher throw off on having Mother's Day services. Not at all. She is worthy of the honor that we put upon her. Matter of fact, we need to honor her more and teach our children what it is and teach our girls what an honor it is to be a mother and how important it is to be a mom. The first positive command that God gave unto the family was to be fruitful and multiply, to have children and to build a family. And then the first commandment of promise in the Word of God was to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. The home is to be a place of love and appreciation that is to be shared. Amen. Loving one another and loving God. I'm finished preaching. You can come on with a song this morning. I just want to sum this thing up this morning this way. I say, Mom is greater than the sum of her financial value. Amen. Mom is more than how she is quantified on the fashion and beauty scale. Mom is more than a laundry expert, maid, chief cook, and bottle washer. She is a receptacle of life as chosen by God and a nurturer of a family as designed by God.
Amen.
She is her husband's most trusted companion, and a spirit-filled mother is her church's building block. A godly mother who loves God is her pastor's most important endorsement for the young people. I can tell which mamas love their preacher by the way their children behave towards me. I appreciate dads that take care of the kids, but I'm telling you, those kids, their attitudes, not necessarily always their behavior, their attitudes are influenced more by mom than they are by dad. Attitude. I talk about a lot of different folks, but the way the Gammon boys treat me is a reflection of what Ginger shows them at home. I know that. I'm not saying that she had never gone home and says, I can't believe he preached that long today. Or I wished he wouldn't say stupid. My mama told me not to say stupid. And sometimes I say stupid just to sort of needle her a little bit, you know. Say stupid, not say stupid. Needle her a little bit. But the way that they behave towards me shows me how mom talks about the church and the preacher at home. She's a church's and a pastor's most important endorsement for the young people. I'm going to say it this way this morning. Little can be as destructive as a strange and lewd woman, but little could ever hold such value as a godly woman. I suppose what I'm asking this morning is, who will volunteer to be that woman? To be that mother, that grandmother, that influence, that one who cares and realizes that God has a high calling for your life. Gentlemen, I didn't mean to leave you out today. May the Lord help us to appreciate what a real woman is. Supreme Court justices may not know what a woman is, but God's Word does.
Amen.
Everybody stand this morning. If the Lord's touched your heart in some way, feel the need to pray this morning. These altars are open. I've tried to share with you what God has burned into my heart. May or may not be very profound preaching to you, but it's been some midnight oil burned dwelling on this morning. I hope somehow it's touched your heart. Sister Tanya's going to sing. If you need to pray, these altars are open. I'd encourage you to commit your way unto the Lord. Young women, mamas, grandmamas, I'd encourage you to volunteer to be that woman. Dad, sir, I'd encourage you to lift her up in prayer and to be the man God wants you to be, appreciating the wife God has placed in your life. Lord, forgive us for not doing that adequately, sufficiently. Sing for us whenever you're ready, please. If you need to pray this morning, families may need to get in the altar together. I want you to be obedient to the Lord. Just do what God lays on your heart here today.
I don't know where I'd be today. Don't know if I'd have my family.
If you obey God, other families praying, how
there's
about
no
you?
Telling
you
who I would be
for your home,
if not for grace.
God help us today.
I could be locked up in jail.
Lord, have mercy on us, please.
Have no future, no story to tell. I know my soul would be crying from hell if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless.
Hallelujah.
Well, things in my past I have
so I
done
seek to
so
do well.
Wrong. God's forgiveness
seek
I never
to be the person God
known.
Has intended and purpose for you to be.
For grace.
Never intended for you to spend your life in the gutter and on the bottom.
There'd be no hope of heaven
sloshing
above.
Sloshing around in the old wash buckets of
Moab. I wouldn't know the words for God's
sake. Dwelling
so
on the other
love.
Side of Jordan outside of the will of God.
I know my life would be
mired up in the muck and the mire of this old world.
If not
never
for grace.
Never intended that for your life.
If not for grace.
God.
I would still be lost
you life,
and hopeless.
Your lease on life. Thank the Lord.